Here we go.
Ah, oh, the team is back together.
I know, it's been a sad 2 weeks without you guys.
Well, it'll only be a week for our listeners, so.
Oh, I didn't mean to give away. I didn't mean to pull back the curtain.
Oh, no.
Hi, this is Soraya.
And this is Jeff.
Our podcast is called Paisley Stage Raspberry and Rhyme.
A podcast where the two of us play music that we like and share anecdotes and background about the tunes.
We hope you'll join our conversation. And without further ado, a groovear.
Let's get groovy.
There was a couple things that have come up this week that I wanted to talk about before we get started on our Dream Syndicate side projects. And one of them, Ronnie, I don't know if you're allowed to talk about this, but there's a post on the Muffs official Facebook page. It's a save the date for 10/18/2019, or October 18th of this year. Is this anything that you could talk about with our listeners, or do we have to wait and find out what this date means?
Oh, it is kind of nice today. It's very warm. It's a little humid out there, but it is a nice day today.
Oh, okay. Got it. Understood.
What did you gonna get, man?
I made the posting very cryptic. Just put hashtag the Muffs, hashtag Omnivore Recordings. But
all right.
Yeah, I can announce it now. I'm doing a slow rollout.
Okay.
But I should put my see my hand gesture. we have an album coming out on a new Muffs album coming out October 18th.
Oh.
And I kind of screwed up. Our original date was October 11th, so I had my friend at Envoy make me that graphic because it's the same lettering as our album, you know, just to tie it in.
Nice.
So I meant to do it like 3 months before release date, but it's actually 3 months and a week before release date because I didn't really look at the date before I posted it. But yes, 18 songs, 45 minutes.
Wow.
New album. We're very proud of it.
Love it.
This is very exciting. Well, we'll have to wait and hear what it's called and more details as we get closer to the date. But this is very exciting.
A month from now, I'll reveal more details.
Yes.
And have him back on to go through the album, no?
Yes.
That would be fantastic.
Yes.
I know we're not Paisley or Paisley adjacent, but we are from Los Angeles.
Yes. So. And our ultimate plan is to roll out to more Los Angeles bands, so... That will definitely be part of that. And there are a few connections. I mean, Kim came from the Pandoras, and they weren't exactly Paisley Underground, but they were certainly part of that 60s-influenced bands out of the 80s. So
But 60s revival stuff.
But the Pandoras and the Muffs are definitely not the same band, but there are connections.
There are. We could discuss that later.
Yes, yes. And then there was another item that I wanted to talk about, and that was to point people to another podcast that you were a part of that came out this week, Ronnie, and that was Stephen Schnee's podcast. So that was episode 28 of his Beach Blanket Fort Bingo podcast, Two Guys Talking About Music. I loved the episode. I listened to it twice, but I definitely want people to go check that out if they don't already know about it.
Yeah, Steve's podcast, it was different than his usual. Usually he interviews, he's had like the guy, the main guy from the Vapors and Tony from Fabulous Poodles and people. He's a big fan of 80s music and power pop and stuff. But we're friends, so I was there and we barely talked about the Muffs. We just talk. As you heard, we go from subject to subject, just boom, 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 boom. And it's an hour of us, talking about just stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, it's fun. So, yeah, but I recommend his. There's a lot of podcasts out there, I know. But his podcast is a good one.
It is. And on that podcast, you guys mentioned that you prefer podcasts not to go over an hour. So, so lest we do that, let's get started on this Dream Syndicate.
Let's do it.
So, Ronnie, you picked a song. I think I sent out a list of close to 40 bands, and I think you picked one that wasn't even, or close to 50, and you picked one or two that weren't even on my list. So I know there's plenty more, but what song did you come up
with? The Dream Syndicate list is so big. It's more things than, like, Jeff has grandchildren. it's unbelievable. So it was... It was hard to get it down to two, but I thought I would. I wanted to include Carl Pakoda, you know, and a lot of people don't know about this band, so He had a band, 97, somewhere in the late 90s to about 2005. I think they put out four CDs called Last Days of May. And as you will hear, it's not exactly song-oriented. It's very psychedelic and echoey and spacey. And, you know, I couldn't even pick out a song, if you will, because at least two of the albums are just live. It's just them performing, and it's very different than Dream Syndicate. But a lot of people don't know Carl went on to actually kind of, you know, you hear the rumors. He became a college professor and all that, and dropped out of music. Well, he didn't drop out of music. He actually did this project for a while, and it's kind of interesting. So
yeah, I knew nothing about this, so I'm looking forward to hearing this.
Yeah, there's very little information on them, but Last Days of May.
Thank you.
Wow, that is a jam.
Woo.
Yeah, in retrospect, maybe not the best way to start off the podcast.
No. That's a great way.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about those guys, but it looks like, looking online, that they released 4 CDs, I guess.
Yeah, I have 3 of them, wow. I think. I think you can still get them for a decent price, too. But, again, no one seems to ever talk about that. I know it's not like commercial music or anything, but, you know, it is Carl Pacoda.
Yeah. So. I love it. That sounded great. That was super cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. I know you have your experimental side, Jeff.
I definitely do, yeah. Yeah, no, I don't think that's something that I would listen to all the time, but I definitely get in the mood for that kind of proggy. Just,
no, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so. Soraya.
All right, so...
What can you do after that?
I'm going to switch it up just a smidge. I'm going to go with Chris Kakavas and a track from 1994. And it's called Pale Blonde Hell. And I like it. I don't know, Ronnie, what'd you call it? It's you want to give the guitarist some, right?
Oh.
The guitars on this are really sick. They're great. And I just like this tune a lot. But when you have lyrics like this, you know, you're not going down the wrong path. It's not my fault. My heart does the things it does. Now I'm at the bottom of this well. Pale blonde hell. And then the song ends with the best line ever. Pale blonde hell. And then done.
Nice.
But it's a good song. I like it a lot. Different sort of tone. So spin it up, Doctor.
Was white as meerschaum washed up by the sea. Her hair was as yellow as a field of blowing wheat. Her name I don't remember too well. One that I knew way back when. She reminded me of the one who taught me how to sin. She was like an angel who just fell. Hey. It's not her fault that she was the way she was. It is not my fault, my heart does the things it does. Now I'm at the bottom of this well. Hey. Yeah, my baby left me. I got a tale to tell. So I crawled down lonely street paths, heartbreak
Soraya, that's so you. At least that ending.
Yeah, no, I like it a lot.
I'm glad you picked the Chris Kakadu song, Soraya, because like he has like quite a few albums, and it's a real treasure trove like of great music. Like, there's a quote I heard from Pat Thomas where Steve Wynn once said like Chris had the best voice out of all of us, which, you know.
Wow.
I'm not gonna pick any sides, but
wow,
it's probably true.
Wow.
I like that.
But yeah, that, you know, I love all his records. I made it a mission to actually complete my collection a couple years ago, and I think I've almost done it. I think I'm missing like two at this point. But great songwriter, great voice. I love all those albums.
Yeah.
Wow. And Soraya, yeah. I haven't mentioned this to you, but Chris has agreed to come on a future episode. So
bingo.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's what I like.
Yeah, that's a great song.
Yeah, it's really good. And, you know, for me, Ronnie, I know you already know, but for me, this was a discovery. You know, I started kind of listening to things, and I really, really, really like his voice. I like the lyrics. And this song, to me, it's like this haunting tale. I just like the tone of his voice in it, and it's like, you know, he was dragging me in with each new lyric. I liked it a lot. So thank you, and thank you for suggesting it. Yeah.
No, I knew. You know, we heard his voice a little bit on those Green and Red records. You know, the early ones. But I love Chris. Yeah.
So this one, you brought up because Chris played on their newest album, and he's been touring with them. But I know this is not the Rain Parade Side Projects podcast, but John Thoman plays lead on this, so.
Yeah, more connections.
And
all right, Jeff.
Musically, that one kind of ties with what I picked. And what I went with, and I went with this for a couple reasons, but I picked a Continental Drifters song. And part of the reason why I picked a Continental Drifters song is because I believe at a live show, it was the first time that Ronnie and I met face-to-face. So the Wild Honey did a back-to-back live shows at a theater in Los Angeles, and I was volunteering as an usher, and that's the first time I met Ronnie, so...
That's right. It's about 5 years ago.
Yeah. And so the song that I picked, not a guitar player from Dream Syndicate, but rather a bass player who also plays guitar. He plays guitar in this song and sings it. This one was written and it's sung by Mark Walton. And it's from their 2001 album, Better Day. The song that I picked is Tomorrow's Gonna Be. So let's give it a listen and we'll talk about it afterwards.
Okay.
Nobody's home. Drive down to this bar I know, drinking alone, won't get me
So that one's a pretty cool one to me. There's quite a few different members that have gone through that band, and I don't know the origin of all of them, but I know on this song we have Peter Halsoppel playing accordion, which is pretty cool. I liked him with his work with DBs, and I think he played with REM for a bit, right?
He was assigned with REM. He still works. Now he tours with Hootie and the Blowfish.
Oh.
Who I know have a bad rep, but they're actually very underrated. That's actually a really good band. They have a lot of good songs. But I was lucky enough to be around in the days where the Continental Drifters first formed. They used to play free every Wednesday night at Raji's.
Oh.
Raji's was a club in Hollywood. It's a club that was kind of our band's home base, too. But yeah, every Wednesday, Continental Drifters for free at Raji's, I'd say starting in 93, 94.
Wow.
It went for a couple of years, and you never knew. There was a core group, you know, of the band, which was Peter Halsoppel, a very underrated guy named Gary Heaton, Susan Cow, you know, their girlfriends and wives. Peter was married to Susan Cowsill at the time. Vicky Peterson came on board. Carlo, I'm going to mispronounce it, Nuccio?
That's how I would
say it. The drummer.
Yeah.
He might have been the best singer, actually, believe it or not, out of all those singers. And it was just very special. You just knew it at the time. You were witnessing something really special. They would cover Dusty Springfield songs and had these great originals as well. And man, what a band. And they made a couple of really good records. And I didn't even realize Mark sang a song.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Let's talk about Mark Walton for a second, because Mark Walton is the secret weapon in the Dream Syndicate. People don't notice, but he holds it down. Mark is so, so great.
Agreed.
And it was my honor to play his bass at two of the Wild Honey events.
Wow.
I specifically said, Mark, please, let me play that bass.
Nice.
And one day you guys got to have Mark Walton on the show, because he's got so many great stories, not just about the Dream Syndicate, but, you know, Phil Lynott's bass got stolen and ended up at his house.
What?
And he almost got his ass kicked. Yeah. Like, amazing guy, amazing stories, Mark Walton.
Wow.
I write it down right now.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, for sure. I didn't see any of those shows at Raji's, but the first time that I saw Continental Drifters, it was when, after they had taken a break, and I think it was after Katrina, because the band was affected by that when they were based out of New Orleans for a while.
Yeah, they moved from Los Angeles to New Orleans at a certain point. Yeah.
So they did a show in San Diego at a place called the Casbah, and it was packed, and they played, I think it was close to 3 hours. They were just going through so many songs, and I didn't leave until I saw their van pull out. But it was great. And then again, the only other time that I got to see him is when we met Ronnie, and that was at one of those two shows that Paul Rock put on. So, yeah,
that's right. I was there both nights. Yeah, you catch the Drifters on the right night. I mean, yeah, there's no better band.
Wow. I
mean, not even exaggerating.
Wow. Yeah, and so there's quite a few people that went through. We could have played that on our Bengals side project, quote unquote.
That's true.
Because, as you mentioned, Vicky Peterson is in it too. So,
all right.
Well, let's move on. Ronnie, what you got for your second song?
Okay, I'm up again, and as Soraya said, I was out to give the guitar player some. I'm sorry we don't have a Paul Cutler song. Too many to choose from, but I picked. I wanted to give Jason Victor some attention because I love Jason Victor. I remember when the Dream Syndicate first reformed, whenever it was, 7 years, 8 years ago, whenever it was, and I heard there's going to be another guitar player, and I was a little skeptical. Okay, I was more than a little skeptical, right? and then that show we were all at the Fonda Theater.
Wow.
When Jason came out and started with the feedback, and that, you know, for 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, seemed like 10, before When You Smile, I was sold. And then I was just, my jaw still on the ground.
Yes.
At the Fonda Theater. I'm looking for it. So I picked, Jason's had a band called the Skull Practitioners, which I don't know a lot about the other guys. I really don't know a lot about the band other than they have a really kick-ass name.
Yeah.
But they've released it. All they've put out is a 4-song cassette. I think they still play around New York somewhat, but let's hear a song.
Jam.
Live Jason Victor. Yeah. You know, a little Sonic Youth-y, a little kind of post-punk. Yeah, and Jason, a lot of Jason Victor. I think they're a three-piece. So
wow.
That's Jason making most of that noise.
Another band I wasn't aware of, so I've got to I gotta check out that cassette.
I got to find that.
I think I can set you guys up.
All
right. He's a pusher.
No. Jason gave me a few of them a few years ago. And
nice.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. That is ridiculously good.
That was good. Yeah. So two instrumental jams.
Yeah, I know. It's very unlike me, right? The power pop guy.
Yeah.
To pick instrumental jams. But, you know, those are my, you know, my guys. Yeah. I have to support them. So.
Excellent. Both great picks. What you got, Soraya?
Once again, I could be accused of copying off of Ronnie Barnett's paper, but what I picked is a song by Steve Winn and the Miracle 3. It was called Amphetamine from 2003. Just listen to these lyrics before you hit into it, because, yes, Jason Victor is the guy that sells this song, 100%. So lyrics are, I was driving down the 101, it was late at night, and I was thinking about the things that I've done, all of my regrets and all of my fears. I was slipping the car from gear to gear. Who hasn't done that?
Like every day of my life.
You live in LA. You've done that. Just mindlessly drifting and thinking about all the crap you've done and all the, oh, why'd I do that? And can I rewind the time machine to 10 years ago and and take that back? And the minute I heard that, I'm like, okay, Steve, you got me. And then Jason Victor just blows this song apart. Hats off. This is an amazing song, Amphetamine.
And the version that we found, a version that's a live version, and it was broadcast on KEXP. We're going to play that version.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm gonna live until the day I die. When I leave
Dang, you guys picked some guitar jams.
Dang, man. Seriously.
Sweet Jesus.
For anyone that hasn't seen this live version, it's on YouTube, and we'll post a link to it. Jason Victor steals this show. He just goes off on this guitar solo, and he's just like, blah, blah, blah. It's like you forget anybody else is playing. The video is 7 minutes, man. 7 minutes.
Yeah, they're jamming.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you picked that, because, you know, I kind of lost track of Steve's solo work, you know, in the late 90s somewhere, and so I haven't heard those Miracle 3 records, and I got to get them now. I'm excited about the box set.
Yeah,
we can talk about it, because Steve told you guys.
Yeah,
I remember Pat Thomas was like, don't tell anybody, and then Steve came on your show.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm looking forward to checking that stuff up. I also want to mention, as far as the Miracle 3, the drummer, Linda Pittman, my old friend, she is unbelievable. She drums in like you know, like Jason. They're both probably playing different clubs in LA tonight. You know what I mean? But Linda and Steve, she's Steve's wife as well. But Linda is just unbelievable drummer in person, and yeah.
I have a little
what a great band.
I have a little Linda Pittman story. So early in my internet days, so I somehow got a box set of some CDs of the Plasticland discography, like the whole set, and I had posted it somewhere on some news group, and I got contacted by somebody who asked if I could send them a copy of it. I had a spare copy, and so I sent it to the person, and it turns out it was Linda, and she turned around and she sent me a copy of Here Come the Miracles, the double CD that they were just releasing at the time, and I had no clue who she was till a few years later, and I was like, wait a minute, I just had a transaction with her a few years back. So yeah, so that was pretty cool to me. Yeah.
Wait, can we talk about Plasticland?
Yeah, sure.
What a great band that was.
Yeah.
From what, Milwaukee? Like, those records still stand up too.
Yeah. Wow. So we're definitely gonna have to devote a whole episode to them, for sure. So
there's a Linda, Steve Wynn, and Muffs story. If you want to hear it.
Yes, now's the time.
Steve told me this actually at that Continental Drifter show 5 years ago, because I hadn't seen him in a long time. I guess when Steve was courting Linda, okay, this is, I hate, like every documentary, I'll say it, this is pre-internet, okay? This is like a, you know, you got no cell phones. He didn't know quite how to track her down, and he went to Minneapolis, and the Muffs were playing 7th Street Entry that night. And he went to our show thinking that Linda would most likely be there, and he could find her there. And she wasn't there, but Steve said, "Great, you guys were great that night." Anyway, so.
Oh.
I'd like to say that I played Cupid in the story. Is what I'm trying to say.
Nice, nice. Very cool.
There you go, Ronnie Barnett, a man of many talents.
Doing my part.
Looking up people.
Well, if anybody wants to find the recorded version of Amphetamine while they're waiting for Ronnie to hook them up someplace. So as far as I could tell, that originally came out in 2001 on a vinyl single, and it was just listed, the artist was just listed as Steve Wynn, and that came out on Blue Rose, which is interesting because there's a connection with Continental Drifters because they were a Blue Rose Records label band too. And then it was also released as a bonus single on the album Tick Tick Tick. That was Steve Wynn and the Miracle 3. So, as far as I could tell, the studio versions, that's where you can find that. So
it's very easy to find, is what you're saying.
Yeah, not so much. Not so much.
Exactly.
All right, Jeff.
So, you guys had some jams. Mine is a little bit more pop compared to you two. I have some stories about this band. This one is not by a member of the band who played anything with strings on it, but this is a song that was written by Dennis Duck. And speaking of Dennis Duck, I'm a little bit surprised, Ronnie, that you didn't go with the Dennis Duck Goes Disco. So
I almost did. We'll talk about this after this.
Okay, well, let's play this. This is Jubilee by Human Hands, written by Dream Syndicate drummer Dennis Duck.
between the temper and the tongue. No direction finder can save you now. Drive your nails into the ground. Take a taxi into town. Jubilee. Deep in the heart of China, men of wisdom shiver in the rain. Cast your seeds upon the sand. Answer questions that you don't understand. Jubilee.
So there's a couple things I wanted to talk about. This one on marimba on that song is DJ Bonebreak of X. So if you hear that marimba going, there's also some steel drums, and that's Keith Mitchell, who also played in Monitor. He played with David Roback when they had the Opal thing going. Played in Mazzy Star, of course, and The Romans, which was another great band that Steve Wynn was producing.
And Green on Red.
That's right. Red. Yeah. So, but the reason why I picked Human Hands is because when in the 80s I was in a band, White Glove Test, we were on the label called Nate Starkman and Son. Our parent label was called Independent Project Records. And that's how I had heard about Human Hands originally, is Independent Project Records put out a compilation in 82, and it was a compilation of unreleased stuff that Human Hands had done. But this song, Jubilee, originally came out in 82 on Monolith Records. It was just a single or mini EP, and I like that song, and that was a song that Dennis Duck wrote. But Ronnie, Dennis Duck, I was thinking you would go with a Dennis Duck song.
Yeah, well, this was like, I don't know what, a couple months ago? Jeff actually discovered this record, Dennis Duck Goes Disco. I saw Jeff did a posting about his haul at, you know, Freak Beat, and, you know, I had never heard of that or seen it before. And then doing a little research, turns out Dennis put out a cassette edition of like 20 in 1977. This thing called Dennis Duck Goes Disco. It's about the furthest thing from disco you can imagine. It's it's Dennis basically using a manual turntable and just experimenting on records, just doing weird stuff. I don't even know how to really describe it.
Like, yeah, it's like record manipulation, right?
Record manipulation. I know the liner notes. He said at the end of it, the turntable was destroyed, a bunch of records were destroyed.
I don't doubt that at all.
But he ended up with some happy accidents, and it came out on CD and vinyl like what 10 years ago, 12 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
So that's what Jeff found, and I immediately went to Discogs and bought it on both formats, and
nice.
Like I told Jeff, I'm glad I heard it on CD first because I would have been really concerned for my turntable had I played the record. And if you hear it, I know everyone's going to go out and search it out now. If you hear it, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a trip. It's a trip.
But yeah, I have that Human Hands record too. That's the one thing I have is that independent project thing. And I didn't grow up in L.A., so I didn't know. You know, I'd seen the name, and you know, when the Dream Circuit first formed, Dennis was the big guy. He was the guy with the rep.
Right.
He was in Human Hands. So
yeah, and so that Jubilee record that was engineered by Paul B. Cutler. So you had mentioned that earlier. We didn't play
perfect.
A Paul song, but he played guitar in the middle years with Dream Syndicate. So he gets a shout out at least by way of production.
Perfectly done, Jeff.
So I wanted to read off a list of some of these bands. So just. So we at least get a mention. So I'll try to go through these real quick. So so bands that I found that Steve Wynn was a part of course, the solo stuff, 15 Minutes, Danny and Dusty, which I almost went with one of their songs, Gutterball, of course, Smack Dab, Steve Wynn and the Miracle 3, thank you, Soraya, The Suspects, which I'm still looking to try to find one of these days at a record store, Baseball Project, which we're probably going to have to do a whole episode on them someday, The Dragon Bridge Orchestra, the JLP Sessions Project, and then Paul B. Cutler, who we're just talking about. 45 Grey, Bee People, The Consumers, Vox Pop, and then he did something with Chuck Dukowski and Bill Stinson. That was another thing. Then Mark Walton, he actually played on that Chris Kakavas on one of those projects. Well, a lot of people did. Chris has a lot of people coming through. Continental Drifters, which I picked. Giant Sand. The Walking Tacos, which I need to find something about. Just that name alone. Kendra Smith, who I almost went with, but I found a way to pull some of these things into a future episode, so I'm holding off. So she was part of Clay Allison, Opal, The Rainy Day Project, which we've covered. And then some of her solo stuff, The Guild of Temporal Adventures. There's some interesting stuff she did there. Carl Perkota, the only thing that I could find was what you found, Ronnie. Other than that, I didn't know anything about it, so thanks for bringing that to our attention. And then stuff that Dennis Duck was involved with. Listen to this list. So he's got the solo stuff like the Dennis Duck Goes Disco that we were talking about. Ace and Deuce, Airway, The Doo Duets, El Trio Primero, Foundation Boo, Human Hands, Mr. Foon's Bandaloon. That's a great title. Paul is Dead, I've got to find out that. Seldom Melodic Ensemble, Smegma, Still Life, The Fine Arts Dumpsters, that's something I want to look into. I've heard that that's pretty cool. The Impressionists, The Rick Potts Band, The Square Haircuts. Whew. And then I'm Dave Provost, who's done a lot of different projects, but one of them being the Denver Mexicans. I love that title. The Droogs, The Textones, Totem Pullman. And Wednesday Week, he played on their Betsy's House EP, which I almost pulled a song from that. And then, Ronnie, you brought up Jason Victor's Skull Practitioners, who I didn't know anything about. So I know that list isn't exhaustive, but these guys from Dream Syndicate have put out some stuff.
Yeah, Dave Provost also played with Gene Clark and Carl Olson.
Oh, yeah, the Carl
Dave Provost has played with a lot of... Did you mention the Textones?
Yeah.
You probably did, yeah.
So.
Dave's unbelievable.
Yeah. It was really fun when we had him on the show for a little bit talking about Medicine Show. So that was good. So
I remember he had that great story about Yoko Ono and Chris Slick.
That was so cool. So cool. All right. Well, I think we went over our hour. I was hoping to keep it under an hour, but man, you guys picked some long guitar jams. I blame the two of you. I was trying to keep it short and sweet, but so Ronnie, who's next? We've talked about side projects from the 3 o'clock and now Dream Syndicate. Rain Parade or Bengals? What do you want to delve into next?
I say next week we're going to go into the Bengals.
All right. Woo! All right.
Yep. There's no bad choices here.
No. No.
You can, it's a win-win.
All right. Well, let's do that. Well, is there anything that you guys want to say before we close out today's episode? No?
Silence.
Silence. And Ronnie, I did give you some homework assignment to come with a sign-off. I'm sure you thought long and hard about this.
Oh, God. I totally
did. I was stealing the walking tacos.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah.
I'm out of here like a taco, walking.
Mmm, tacos. That's my sign-off.
All right. Well, Soraya, how about you lead us out?
Anything.
How do we have? Groove on, Paisley people. Ronnie?
Later.
Arrivederci, America. Awesome. Thanks, you guys. Don't worry, I'll hang up so you can talk about me.
No. Wait a second, Ronnie. First of all, hats off for showing us memorabilia around your house. Two, is that really a lover boy thing up on your wall?
Oh, it is.
Above?
Yes.
And three, kudos on the KLOS rock pile sticker.
Oh, yeah.
I lost all my KLOS stickers. When family moved,
I might have a couple of extras of some.
Dang.
There's some Lover Boy Keep It Up suspenders.
Oh, good God almighty.
Yeah. I don't get to talk about, nobody wants to talk about Lover Boy with me ever.
Sorry. everybody's working for the weekend. I love Lover Boy, and hats off for having them. Dude, seriously, you got to bring the archivist. Your place, you got a lot of fun stuff in there.
Oh, yeah. You just saw a little small
print. And Jeff the has been village in here. Mask came from...
Halloween, you know, people back in the day, parents would send their kids dressed for Halloween as a gay leather man. I have the Indian mask, too. I really want the Randy Jones, the cowboy. He's my favorite member. I assume they made him for all five. I've never seen one, though.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I got a bunch of, I like stuff, so. Yeah,
and thank you for showing us Miss Irma.
Oh, of course. Yeah. She's a star.
And one person.
And of course, it had to.
Following.
It had to start with David Lee Roth, of course.
You know. I honestly thought there was going to be a moving mouth. And you were going to mouth the words to all the songs.
Someone gave me those. They're from like a party. I have four different ones. They're like handheld masks. And
Oh, boy.
Yeah, very I love cool. David Lee Roth.
Hey, yes. Man, who doesn't?
I recommend him on the Marc Maron podcast, this latest episode, by the way, if you have an extra hour and a half.
Wow.
David Lee Roth does not disappoint.
And then, Jeff, did you wear Donald Duck in honor of Dennis Duck?
Oh, no.
Oh, nice.
Or was that just a happy accident, as Ronnie said?
Yeah, it was a happy accident. Actually, something came up on my Facebook memories from last year. That I took a picture with my granddaughter and great-granddaughter, and they're coming over tonight, so I wanted to try and reenact last year's picture from today. And I wore this shirt last time, so it's just for that. So.
That's really cool.
Sweet. So, yeah. I was about to make a comment about Donald ducking. But
Do it.
Well, I want to say hopefully you're not Donald ducking right now. You guys know what that is, right?
No.
It's where you wear a shirt. Yeah, no
shirts
pants.
And no pants.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well.
Walking around, strutting your stuff.
It was a new term for me. I never heard it until a couple months ago.
Donald ducking.
If I could see my bottom half past my belly, then I would be able to confirm or not confirm. But we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, my God. Ronnie, I got to tell you, these are really fun series. With you, I'm so glad you agreed to do it.
Aww,
and
yeah.
I really hope that we can, I don't know, sucker you, slip a Mickey in your drink or something, and have you come on back for some other stuff too.
Yes.
Anytime. This is a blast.
And we got to talk about Muffs in October, anyways. So.
Yeah. In October. Okay.
Yep. Awesome. That's perfect.
I'll see you guys before then. I'll see you tomorrow, actually.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Sounds good.
All right.
Thanks, Ronnie.
Okay. Okay.
All right. See you tomorrow. Bye.
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 Is everybody here?
Yeah.
teacher.
Susie Sparrow.
Here, teacher.
Bertie Birdbrain.
Here, teacher.
The Canary Sisters.
Here, here,
here. Penelope Pinfeather. We're going to study about
ancient history,
love and mystery,
mathematics, acrobatics, reading, spelling, storytelling.
No. The study of musical instruments is the subject for today.
The study of musical instruments is the subject for today.
Did you ever stop to think when the band plays Rinky Tink where all the music comes from? From a toot and a whistle and a plunk and a boom.
That's where the music comes from.
Did you ever understand a symphony so grand, so bright and sentimental?
And a toot and a whistle and a plunk and a boom are very instrumental.
For the horns go toot. And the drums boom, boom, with the bing, bing, zoom.
And it comes out fine and true.
So remember what I say when the band begins to play. That's where the music comes from.
From a, and a, that's where the music comes from.